From Lubbock to Laredo, El Paso to Houston, and Dallas to Brownsville, we're talking Texas with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a donor or management-controlled muzzle or leash. It's the 15th of September already, my friends. Wow, time flies. Our Lone Star story of the day, does Texas need a digital bill of rights? I'm not sure, but we do need to do something. The latest Facebook FBI story shows how bad things are. Also, and our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. If you're a trucker, they're your best friend dealing with your DOT testing. If you're a fleet owner, they'll help you as well with the not only your driver testing, but the clearinghouse you have to keep up with. AlliedCompliance.com is how you get in touch with Allied Compliance Services. A random act of journalism occurred in, of all places, the Houston Chronicle over more of the wrongly termed gun buyback programs down in the Bayou City. We've got border-related, immigration-related news and much more ahead. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at prattontexas.com. We put up one of those podcast extras yesterday. I visited with Wes Verdell, the new Texas State Director for Gun Owners of America. For a long time, that organization was a national spokesperson, Larry Pratt, now his son Eric Pratt, no relation, and really had a bad rep with the gun rights folks working with the legislature and people because they had sent out emails and they talked about stuff and they were really just fundraising off of you. I've been down there. Many of us never saw a lobbyist or a person from GOA do any work on all the great stuff we've done until about the last 10 years. And Wes is one of the people that's been active. And I address that. I mean, this is no soft touch interview, but I'm impressed. They've done a lot of work of late, particularly on open carry, and it's there for you to listen to. You can get the podcast of this show and our long form interviews, our podcast extras at prattontexas.com. It's free of charge. We're on all the big platforms out there. I mentioned that about how many people use the Apple platform, but there are many more. Of course, you just go to prattontexas.com, you click through, and you're right at our podcast vendor source, so you don't have to wait. Sometimes these services and platforms don't load stuff right away. But I'll give you an idea. We're on Spotify, we're on Amazon's Music, and Amazon Audible, both of which I use, Player FM, iHeartRadio. That's right, the giant, what used to be Clear Channel, the iHeartRadio stuff. We're on their podcast platform. We're on the Odyssey podcast platform, Deezer, Apple, Google Podcasts, and others. So you can do that throughout whatever platform you want to use, or just click through directly and download from, or play directly from. You can just play it as a player using your phone, any browser, whatever there. Just go to prattontexas.com. As always, my friends, it is a great day to be a Texan. The Ports to Plains Alliance bringing the Mexican border ports all the way up north through the middle part of the country, just west of the steps of the Rockies, east of the steps of the Rockies, all the way up into Canada, has been a plan being worked on for a very long time. The first part of it that's actually an interstate that was built was the I-27 portion from Lubbock to Amarillo and then finished through the city of Lubbock. This thing's getting momentum finally. It's taking time. And Senator Ted Cruz is going to address the Ports to Plains Alliance in Big Spring tomorrow, Friday the 16th of September at 10 a.m. in Big Spring. So if you're in Big Spring, you might want to go and hear what he's having to talk about, the big effort to get the I-27 Ports to Plains corridor as a future interstate. It's been designated and then you're going to have to get it funded. All right, after a false threat, Waco ISD superintendent applauds district communications with parents. The only interest I had in this was the hubris that we've come to expect from these public school people. This is a big story at KWTX in Waco, and Dr. Susan Kincannon, the superintendent of Waco ISD, they had one of these false hoax reports of a shooting at a school. I haven't been covering them because I don't want to encourage it. It's been going on all over Texas. There was a big one in the, I think it was the Houston area, or maybe it was earlier this week. And I did read a lot of stories on it. And what amazed me is how it's just how people freak out in this stuff. The parents, people were driving to the school and abandoning their cars on the median and running to the schools. If there was a mass shooter, what do you want to do? Get shot? How are you going to help? You just going to be in the way. But there was nothing going on. It was a hoax, and we're getting these hoax calls. Well, Waco had one. What does the superintendent of the schools do? Come out and applauds herself. I kid you not, that's the headline. Waco superintendent applauds district's communication with parents. Because in these others I've seen, they're all furious because, well, they wouldn't tell them. They wouldn't tell the parents is crazy, out of line nuts. Oh, Robert, it'd be their children. Yeah, but they're wrong. They're just nuts. Massive criticism because the schools didn't tell them what was going on. As the law enforcement said, I think that was the Houston one. I think that was earlier this week. There's so much news I review, it kind of gets mixed up. We got to first go and see if there's a shooter and see what's going on and protect victims and do, you know, that's right. But the parents were all over the media screaming and complaining that they weren't being told every detail instantly. You know, law enforcement didn't even know if something was happening or not yet. It just, people are nuts. But superintendents are too. This going out there and the first thing you tell the media, and it's a bunch of quotes backing up the headline, is applauding herself. Oh, what? First thing I did was we got to get in mode and we got, it's just shocking, these personalities. There's no sense of public service anymore. And this woman, what hubris. I would say I'm incredibly proud of our response times as far as communication. She goes on about how she thought, you know, first thing she heard, not talking about what are their victims or whatever. Oh, no, we got it. It just shocks me. Sorry. Mesquite police officer murder. A jury has found him guilty. He killed the guy killing the police officer. Jaime Jaramillo found guilty yesterday of killing police officer Richard Houston. Officer Houston was shot 3 times in December while simply responding to a disturbance call. In other words, people had called the cops outside a grocery store. Police said Aramillo shot Houston, then himself, while fighting with his wife over an alleged love affair. And you wonder why there's so much in Christianity and why it's so wrong to abandon it all to appease, you know, this group or that group. There's so much emphasis on sexual morality and not participating in sexual licentiousness and immorality and perversion, because this is, it leads to so much destruction. Prosecutors said police officer Houston never had a chance to defend himself. This Jaramillo just shot him. He was found guilty in just minutes. I don't know if he's going to get, if it's a capital case or not. I've got these really good stories I want to bring, but if I started, I won't have time. I'll get to these in the next segment. It has to do with amazing things happening at places you would never expect, why you ought to protect yourself, and celebrating people who are anti-wimps who say, I'm not going to sit around and cower and let other people die or be hurt. I'm going to go out and be an anti-wimp. I'm going to do what's morally right. We'll get to those in a moment. Let's move to Midland. It's like all these other cities, the lack of integrity of city officials. Big piece at KOSA. In Midland, the Midland City Council approves 2022-23 tax rate and budget. And they report properly the approved rate, the tax rate to decrease. Folks, get over that. It doesn't increase and decrease. It gets completely recalculated from nothing, and you start from the effective rate, the no new revenue rate every year. This is one thing that even conservatives good on the issue can't understand. You didn't raise or lower it. It starts over with a new calculation every year. Anyway, the City of Midland's Director of Finance, Christy Weekly, appears to be one of these people who has a problem with honesty with citizens. Quote, the city does not do the evaluations on the home, so we have nothing to do with that. That's right. However, if the value of your home goes up, you will pay more in taxes because of that. In other words, she's blaming the appraisal. No, it's because you set a new tax rate higher than the no new revenue rate, liar.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver. And the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, "We used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know." If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prideontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prideontexas.com.
Some claim to cover Texas. Here's a man who proves his claim daily. It's your Texas political swami, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Let me jump back to these headline stories. This one's shocking. It happened at a Jack in the Box restaurant in Houston, and I understand the lawsuit issue here. I wouldn't blame Jack in the Box necessarily or its franchisee, certainly the individuals there. This is an amazing story out of the Houston Chronicle. A family from Florida, the husband was working in Texas, had his family here for a while, suing Jack in the Box and A3H Foods general partner, which I'm sure is the franchisee in Harris County, for $1 million over a shooting that happened on the 3rd of March of last year, 2021. Get this, it says, Mr. Anthony Ramos, he went and picked up his wife and little daughter, I think she was 6, from the George Bush Intercontinental Airport. And it was late flight, 11:30 p.m. There was a Jack in the Box near the airport. They ordered food in the drive-thru. Then, like a smart person, because they so often get stuff wrong at all the fast food places, he checked the bag, saw it was missing his curly fries, which those are really good there. He asked an employee, Alonia, it's these kind of made-up spelling words, Alonia Fantasia Ford, if they could have the curly fries they paid for. She started yelling. The person working there started yelling at the family and told them to get the F out of here and threw ice, ketchup, and other items into their car from the drive-thru window. Bad enough? Oh, it gets worse. They asked to speak to the manager. The manager never came. So words were exchanged. Ford, the woman there, the Alonia Fantasia Ford working the drive-thru, pulled out a firearm, a gun. Ramos saw that. He drove off to save his family. She started shooting at the car from the drive-thru window. And the lawsuit saying, look, the manager was aware of this. Well, all the screaming was going on, didn't step in to de-escalate it, so that's why they're responsible. And in truth, the police came. And the Ford lady, she tried got her boyfriend to come take the gun so she wouldn't get caught, but police got them both. She was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and her boyfriend was charged with carrying a weapon. Ford pleaded guilty to a charge of deadly conduct and received 1 year supervised probation. Yeah, it's Harris County, after all. What if it hit that little 6-year-old girl? Killed her. And through deferred adjudication, that's just crazy. That's just crazy. Ramos was working in Houston. His wife and daughter came to visit after the incident. He left his job, moved back to Florida. But things happen in Florida, too. And that's where this comes around, another anti-wimp situation. Luther Ray Abel at National Review is the corner today, put up this piece about how sometimes the good guys win. Reporting from WFLA, investigators said a woman was getting a baby out of her car when a man identified as William Branch walked up to her wielding a stick and demanded her keys. By the way, we taught this in our gun classes. This is one where women are very vulnerable. You got to be aware of your surroundings. This is an attempted carjacking. The guy then grabbed the car keys from the waistband of the woman's pants, opened her car door, and got inside. Woman began screaming for help. She was outside a Chick-fil-A, and a Chick-fil-A employee wearing his high-vis vest and all that from working the drive-thru, He ran over to intervene. That's right. And that guy punched the employee in the face, but the employee wasn't seriously injured. And the employee told deputies that this branch guy had been involved in another incident shortly before the carjacking attempt. So he was an anti-wimp. He didn't buy this new leftist idea. Wait, sit back, wait for the authorities, you know. After then, the girl could be, the little baby could be kidnapped, everybody could die. He went over there and cleared it up. Good for him. Sometimes the good guys win, that's right. In fact, the headline at NRO today at the corner, Chick-fil-A employee delivers a courtesy whooping to would-be carjacker. And how about this for being armed and being prepared? Out of San Antonio, WOAI says, man told police his daughter saw someone staring at her through a bedroom window, a peeping Tom. Father went outside and confronted the man. There was a man there standing at his daughter's window, being that guy, the peeping Tom, took out a knife and lunged at the homeowner. The homeowner, being a proper true Texan, pulled out his gun and shot several times towards the man. Sadly, he needed more gun control because the subject ran off and there's no word if he was ever hit by the gunfire. But that's an anti-wimp too. Why am I doing the full anti-wimp update? Well, I just don't have time right now. That's several this week. We did one formal one. So there you go. By the way, people think all this stuff's new. In 1999, do you remember, not white settlement, do you remember Wedgewood Baptist Church in Fort Worth? A gunman killed 7 people and himself after opening fire at Wedgewood Baptist on this date, 1999. This is why you need to be armed everywhere. There shouldn't be these gun-free zone things where the crazies know it's going to be a gun-free zone. All right, my friend, this is the day of the Crash at Crush. I don't have time to play you the music today, but Brian Burns has a great version of this. It was a big publicity stunt by the Katy Railroad. In 1896, 15 September, it's 15 miles north of Waco in McLennan County. As a publicity stunt for the Katy Railroad, 2 railroad engines were deliberately crashed head-on at the non-existent town of Crush. Elaborate preparations and extensive publicity brought a crowd of more than 40,000 people. After a 2-mile run by the 2 engines running right at each other, the bright green 999 and the brilliant red 1001, they hit each other and blew up. Flying debris killed 3 people, injured 6 more. By nightfall, the site was abandoned. And Scott Joplin, the great Texan, you know, from the Entertainer and stuff, commemorated the event in his march, Great Crush Collision. The Crash at Crush from Brian Burns, it is Songs of the Texians, is just a fantastic version of that. And I've played it on the show before. Don't have time today. And poor podcast people, they never get to hear any of these songs or music. We have such excellent stuff. It adds so much to the show. Sponsored, our look at Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations, providing security, surveillance, criminal and civil investigations, witness interviews and statements, employment background checks, and more. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at USAinvestigations.net. Switching gears to our lack of border control stack. 2 busloads of illegal aliens from the U.S. and Mexico border have been dropped off near the U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington. That's where the home of the vice president is, Kamala Harris. Her office had no immediate contact. That's right. They were handing there, holding their clear plastic bags of their belongings, and they'd carried over the border. And Ron DeSantis in Florida flew 2 planes of illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard on Wednesday. Way to go. Del Rio Border Patrol officials reported the apprehension of more than 3,300 migrants over the weekend, just in the weekend. And these people up there in the north are declaring emergencies over a few hundred people. Little Del Rio, that area. Chief Border Patrol Agent Jason Owens reported apprehensions, 3,322. Known gotaways, 733. Rescues, 51. Criminals that found to have a record, 2. And then Judicial Watch has a really good thing out this week you might want to go look at. Secretary Mayorkas, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, on that big trip to Texas where he made a big scene about, oh, it's bad and we got to work with the Border Patrol and all that. This was the trip, I think, in 2021, August, a year ago, just a little more than a year ago. Turns out he didn't just meet with county officials and give them all this sobs. Oh, yeah, we know it's a problem. Most notable, they requested all the records from this trip, Judicial Watch did, and they found out that he had a lot of private meetings with previously undisclosed attendees. Who are they? Well, They were a bunch of pro-open borders people that are George Soros-funded groups and stuff like that. That's right. Soros-funded groups during the border trip. So, yeah, he was there for the cameras. Oh, yeah, this is about in the Border Patrol. Oh, we're going to work with you and all that. And really, he was having behind-the-scenes meetings with the people that are behind all of this stuff, this policy. Illegals who entered U.S. since Biden took office have cost taxpayers $20 billion. That's Paul Bedard at Washington Examiner had this piece a couple of days ago. Big study from Federation of American Immigration Reform Fair. And they just talk about the direct cost, over $20 billion. And Paxton, he's back in the Fifth Circuit fighting the Biden administration over the border as well. So we keep on fighting. They keep on letting them in. Back in a moment.
Keep that six-shooter at your side. Fred on Texas will be right back after this.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at HurleyBenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y Benefits.com.
The Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas brings you news and commentary of the Lone Star State without all the wasted time and staff chit-chat. Now, here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pratt on Texas. If a member of your family was killed by a vehicle in a car crash, whether the other driver was at fault or it was an accident or maybe the vehicle had a malfunction, doesn't matter. And you took to the press and held a press conference and showed a picture of your loved one being, you know, in a casket. Maybe it was your child, 10 years old or something like that. And you said, and you took that at a press conference, you showed it around, and then you took it to a, yeah, let's say a major U.S. senator. And you said, we really need to either get rid of cars or we need to make it where only a small number of people can have vehicles, German style vehicle licensing and all that, you know, and all. Do you think the story in the senator said, sorry, but I don't agree with your policy. Would they write hit pieces for you? This is how crazy it is. Big story today from the Express News, Timothy Fanning. It's yellow journalism. I mean, just, and it's sour. You know, it's lemon yellow journalism. Ted Cruz brushes off assault weapon ban plea after shown photo of Uvalde victim in casket. Kimberly Mateo Rubio and her husband, they've been going everywhere demanding gun control. And they showed it to something they did, went and testified for gun control as if that would have made any difference whatsoever on Capitol Hill. And They asked Ted Cruz to take constituents by support. In other words, they asked Ted Cruz to go for gun control, a ban on what they call assault weapons, which aren't even assault weapons. It's just stupid. Those things don't operate any differently than any other semi-automatic weapon, period. Anyway, they go to the media with this and said he declined. Instead, he said he supports increasing law enforcement presence on school campuses. How does the media write it up? And there are more than one story on this that Cruz just, you know, he was indifferent. He just gave him the back of the hand. That's how they reported. It's crazy. Dave Vasquez, Cruz press secretary, said the senator met with Mata Rubio and, quote, saw firsthand the pain and grief that the unspeakable violence at Robb Elementary School caused. Later that day, Senate Democrats blocked Senator Cruz's proposed bill that would earmark billions of dollars from the COVID relief education-related funding for school security. Bill proposed doubling the number of school resource officers, hire mental health professionals, and make campus security improvements. Quote, the only reason my first bill, which would constitute the single most significant school safety legislation in history, did not pass today is because U.S. Senator Chris Murphy and the Democrats objected without any explanation or rebuttal. It isn't just irresponsible. It shows contempt for the American people. They bury that at the bottom of the story. The headline is Ted Cruz brushes off assault weapon ban plea after shown photo of Uvalde victim in casket. Yeah, we all know he's the devil. He's so evil. You people are yellow journalism. You sicken me. And then once in a while, God bless the late Rush Limbaugh and his great line, random act of journalism, sort of like random act of violence. You know, sometimes it happens. Sure enough, Jen Rice, a staff writer at the Houston Chronicle, she probably won't get promoted now, has a big piece in the Chronicle today. Remember, we all made fun of that this crazy city of Houston, so-called gun buyback. It's not a buyback program because you didn't buy the gun from the people didn't buy the gun from the government. And then the gun, it's a confiscation program or a paid deal, but you're not buying it back. It's just terrible meaning. Harris County now, the county led by Lena Hidalgo and the lefties are going to spend $1 million of your money. And yeah, I mean your money, not Harris County residents. It's more of this stupid federal COVID relief money crap that was sent out everywhere. Oh, no, Biden's America Rescue Plan Act. $1 million on more of these, a bunch more of these events. Why do I say random act of journalism? Here's the first part of the story. The first part, not buried at the bottom. Jen Rice, again, the Texan might hire you, some other people, when they fire you there at Hearst. Or at least never give you a promotion again. Here's how the story begins. Harris County will spend $1.1 million to hold 8 gun buyback events. It goes on how they're giving them gift cards. A city-hosted buyback event in the third ward in July had a massive turnout. Line of cars stretching 2 miles. The Democrat-dominated commissioner's court approved the plan Tuesday. Using an allocation from the county's flex fund made up of taxpayer money from the general fund made available to use in the American Rescue Plan. Now, that's the summary. Here's where it really gets amazing. While crime experts say there is little to no evidence gun buyback programs actually reduce violence, some county officials say taking guns out of the community is worthwhile. Quote, if you're measuring it by did the crime rate go down, then no, there's no empirical evidence that a gun buyback program will drive down the crime rate, said Jason Spencer, the chief of staff to the Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez, that Democrat who's going to run it. He said, so again, it's the optics, Democrat optics, because here's the rest of the quote. It's an opportunity to highlight a crisis in our community of gun violence. Kevin Lawrence, Executive Director of Texas Municipal Police Association, said he agrees with research demonstrating gun buyback events are unlikely to reduce crime. If your objective is to take crime guns off the streets, they're not effective at all, Lawrence said. Criminals don't tend to sell the tools of their trade for a couple of $100. If your objective is to take cheap broken guns off the streets, then they're probably pretty effective. People will do that all day long. Then in the next paragraph, researchers who published in the National Bureau of Economic Research working paper, Have U.S. Gun Buyback Programs Misfired? In May, found such events are not effective when they're voluntary and offer low rewards for guns that may be worth more. Then later in the story, you get it? I'm worried about Jen Rice's job at the Chronicle. That's the top. They usually bury any of that stuff low down in a story. And they go into all this money they're going to spend. It said city officials later said ghost. Remember, a guy brought in a huge box of 3D printed guns. on a 3D printer. It didn't cost him but a few cents per gun, and he got to make a lot of money off that buyback. Told everybody about it. That was funny. So now they're saying ghost guns will not be, they will not allow that to happen, and the county will exclude them from their buyback too. According to the Sheriff's Department, the buyback events will be focused on underserved communities. Now, how many of you know your gun control history very well? We allude a little bit to it in my interview with Wes Riddell of Gun Owners of America, that long-form special podcast extra I posted yesterday. You know, what's the history of disarming people? It's to unempower people. This is their own liberals saying that it's just to highlight the problem. Even their own sheriff's department that's going to administer this program, over $1 million. They don't work. They don't reduce crime. That's right. That's the sheriff's office saying that in Harris County, who's going to run the program. It seems like an easy way to hand a bunch of money to people in Democrat constituencies, doesn't it? And later in the story, it says, according to the sheriff's department, the buyback events will be focused on underserved community, those most affected by gun violence. I want you to think about that for a moment. These are the very people who need self-protection the most. They have the most amount of crime, the least good police coverage. They live in areas where they're victims of violent crime more often than anybody, more likely to have a guy just bust the door down to get 20 bucks to go get some methamphetamine. This is the age-old trick of the powerful. This is the age-old trick of the powerful, disarming the poor who need self-protection more than any others. Think about that. That's the morality of this. Disarming the poor, like we read in that last buyback down there, where, you know, the quotes, the little grandmother has two or three guns in the house, been there forever and ever. She brings them in. Well, I think you need a gun to defend yourself, but I don't, you know, I just soon get rid of them, whatever. These are the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime. And what do the Democrats who claim they're for them, what do? They do everything they can to disarm these specific communities, the ones that get the worst police protection, by the way. That's just life. That's the way it's worked around the world, and that's what gun control's really about.
Don't miss what Pratt says next. More Pratt on Texas after the break.
There is a delicious treasure in Abilene not to be missed. It's Bell's Chicken Dinner House, where homemade, fresh, mouthwatering fried chicken and chicken fried steak, fabulous veggies, served family style with yeast rolls, and unbeatable homemade desserts are created for your dining pleasure. Bell's Chicken Dinner House, an Abilene treasure, is open to serve you lunch and dinner Thursday through Saturday and open Sunday for that perfect traditional after church lunch. Enjoy Bell's Chicken Dinner House Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
Was your property damaged by wildfire? Winters Dozer Service has the equipment and know-how to get your land cleaned up and back in shape. Some counties may even have state assistance available, so get with Winters Dozer Service now to get your property back in order. And while at it, plan to build future fire breaks with Winters Dozer Service. Get going now. Visit wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
You gotta stop by before they multiply. Gafford Pest Control.
Protect your family from bees, carpenter ants, termites, and bed bugs with effective professional service from Gafford Pest Control. Keep your family safe and clean with Gafford. Call Gafford Pest Control, 792-4292.
Gafford Pest Control.
A Texan by birth, a patriot by conviction. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Why Texas needs a digital bill of rights. It's a summary of a big report out from the Texas Public Policy Foundation. And it says, as life becomes increasingly digital, Texans are not afforded privacy, security, and control over huge swaths of data. It's time for a digital bill of rights to safeguard data privacy for Texans. I'm not sold on this idea because I think it's sort of a government interventionist thing that's too easy to defeat and doesn't work that well. I think there are some things that we could do, but I just don't know. Let's just put it that way. But some of the ideas are probably good. Here are the key points of their plan. Data collection practices have become more rampant, sophisticated, and granular, leaving many users unaware of their data and privacy rights. Okay. But a lot of people never bother to read. How many times do you read one of those things when you get some service free or pay for some service in the EULA, the agreement? You just say yes and go. Well, if you don't want to read it, that's your choice. Users have very little control over how their data is being used, and data application practices can have concerning consequences. I agree. But then again, most people are providing all that personal data voluntarily, whether you believe using Facebook or not is voluntary, or any other program, and they're usually doing it in a way that they're getting compensated. They're getting the app and the service free or at a very subsidized rate compared to real cost, and that's where they make the real money, is off the data. Again, it's voluntary. Other states have passed data privacy laws to tackle this issue. In the EU, the European Union adopted the GDPR to secure data privacy and protection. And again, I would ask, yeah, but has it really worked? The Texas legislature has addressed some data rights issues in previous sessions. However, more is needed to adequately address data privacy rights. Maybe. Their last point, with the Digital Bill of Rights, Texans can have improved privacy online, knowledge of how their data is being used, data collection controls. Not really. Look, the way cloud storage works now, half of the little bit of data you have may be stored in the United States, half of it may be stored in Africa, half of it, or third, I got to get my fractions right. But it's just, this is going to be tough. And it's basically, I think the only thing we're ever going to be able to do is to introduce criminal laws that ban certain activities. But there are all kinds of laws out there. Does it really stop these companies? The New York Post's Miranda Devine had a blockbuster of a story this week. Facebook spied on private messages of Americans, not your public post, but your supposed private messages to other users who questioned the 2020 election. I'm going to give you big parts of the story. It's a very long story. I'm just going to give you the highlights. Facebook, which is Meta, now the name of the company, has been spying on the private messages and data of American users and reporting them to the FBI if they expressed what they consider to be anti-government or anti-authority sentiments, or questioned the 2020 election, according to new sources, whistleblowers coming forth from the Department of Justice. It was done outside the legal process and without probable cause, alleged one of the sources who spoke on condition of anonymity. Facebook provides the FBI with private conversations which are protected by the First Amendment without any subpoena, that person said. These private messages then had been farmed out as, quote, leads, end quote, to FBI field offices around the country, which subsequently requested subpoenas from the partner U.S. Attorney's Office in their district to officially obtain the private conversations Facebook already had shown them. In other words, so they could build a case, but they actually had the data beforehand illegally. Quote, or no, here's, yeah, from the story, but when the targeted Facebook users were investigated by agents in a local FBI field office, sometimes using covert surveillance techniques, nothing criminal or violent turned up. Quote, it was a waste of our time, end quote, said one source familiar with subpoena requests lodged during a 19-month frenzy by FBI headquarters in Washington. The Facebook users whose private communications Facebook had red flagged as domestic terrorism for the FBI were, quote, all conservative right-wing individuals, end quote. Quote, they were gun-toting, red-blooded Americans who were angry after the election and shooting off their mouths and talking about staging protests. There was nothing criminal, nothing about violence or massacring or assassinating anyone. As soon as the subpoena was requested within an hour, Facebook sent back gigabytes of data and photos. It was ready to go. They were just waiting for that legal process so they could send it. Facebook denied the allegations this week. By the way, those were quotes I gave you from inside whistleblowers at the DOJ. In two contrasting statements sent 1 hour apart from Facebook or Meta, Erica Sakin, Post spokesperson at their parent company Meta, claimed Facebook's interactions with the FBI were designed to protect people from harm. And in a second, though, an unprompted, updated statement sent an hour later, she changed her language to say the claims are wrong, not false, as they had originally claimed, because they were doing it. In a statement Wednesday, the FBI neither confirmed nor denied allegations put to it about the joint operation with Facebook. Responding to questions about the misuse of data only of American users, the statement curiously focused the FBI statement, in other words, they wordplayed, focused on, quote, foreign malign influence actors, end quote, but did not acknowledge that the nature of the FBI's relationship with social media providers enables a quick exchange of information and is an ongoing dialogue. Facebook's denial that it proactively provides the FBI with private user data without a subpoena or search warrant, if true, would indicate that the initial transfer had been done by a person or persons at the company designated as a confidential human source by the FBI, someone with authority to access and search users' private messages. In this way, Facebook would have plausible deniability if questions arose about misuse of users' data. In other words, the person could be protected by the FBI as a spy. So they are spying on us. And then another part of the story from these inside whistleblowers at DOJ. They, Facebook and the FBI, were looking for conservative right-wing individuals. None in this list of stuff were Antifa types. You know, the people who were actually out breaking the law, killing people, burning down buildings and cities and stuff like that. You got it? None were those types. The DOJ sources have decided to speak to the Post, this is the New York Post, and risk their careers because they're concerned that federal law enforcement's been politicized and is abusing the constitutional rights of innocent Americans. They say more whistleblowers are ready to join them. Unrest has been building among the rank and file across the FBI and in some parts of the DOJ for months. Came to a head after that raid at Mar-a-Lago. Quote, the most frightening thing is the combined power of big tech colluding with the enforcement arm of the FBI, says one whistleblower. Google, Facebook, and Twitter, these companies are globalists. They do not have our national interests at heart. So what's a little Texas law going to do? I know those are mostly consumer. What's it going to do? I mean, it's not going to do anything. If they're willing to let people pretend to be, you know, confidential informants and turn over all their data, which we know they've done. We know the phone company did it for decades with the federal government, turned over at least metadata to everybody, to the law enforcement. In some cases, there may be a call for that. But in this case, the whistleblowers themselves are saying this was just all about right-wing, you know, conservative people and that were mad about an election. And none of it panned out. None of it. But Facebook thought it was, and this is the point, folks. We're in a battle to save the country. Oh, battle. Bad word. No, it may come to that. I mean, even the leftist, I was talking about this modern Civil War stuff years ago. Even the leftist thinkers and people, if they can be called that, are talking about this possible civil war. And it doesn't mean it has to be an armed conflict. We're sort of in a cultural civil war right now, and the politics follows that. This is dangerous. And it doesn't mean you can't use Facebook, whatever. You know, just what do you do with it? You know, I mean, that's a real question. I love to hear people gripe about data privacy when they put every bit of their personal life and photographs and addresses where they're going. You know, they don't seem to learn like media people learn about, you know, you don't tell everybody where you're going for vacation. You get home, you won't have anything left in your house. To a large degree, people volunteer all their information out there. The biggest worry we have is the government and its misuse of this and abuse of our rights. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.